I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
My name's M Speller with the mic in my hand, and I'm chilling and cooling just like a snowman. So open your eyes, lend us an ear. We want to say Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Festive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit early, but fine.
Yeah. What, would you want to wish him a Happy
Don't
New Year?
With the
I
word.
Do. I want to wish our listeners everything.
Yeah.
All the happiness.
It's Christmas time in Ramble HQ.
Yeah.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen.
The tree's in the corner.
Although we're not really an HQ, we're more of a sort of nomadic tribe, aren't we? We're all over the place.
HQ's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, wherever we rest our heads.
Omnipresent. My name's Marcus. Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
Pete's here.
Hello.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have you here, you beauties. Now, at the Manchester United Christmas party, Wayne Rooney tweeted a photo of himself on stage with a band singing Valerie by the Zootons. I'm not sure if it was the Zootons version or the Mark Ronson version. We can but speculate. But if the England man was to take requests, which song would you ask him to perform, Jim?
Well, I think I'm going to go for a normal one and a Christmas one.
Okay.
Because it's festive, isn't it? I think just the normal song would be Lou Bega's hit Mambo Number 5, but just with the names of old ladies instead of the names of
Parson United players.
Well, maybe, if you want to be very, very innocent and childlike about it.
I think it would be great just to hear him do it.
Yeah.
And a bit of Margaret.
Yeah, little bit of Elsie.
I think we're better than the Wayne Rooney grandma prostitute story of 2004.
Well, you know,
I've never waited.
Was it 2004? It seems like it's a long time.
It's been a long
time. No idea.
We didn't have a Christmas, summer break.
That's true.
Yeah, we're weary.
We're like Xavi. Really tired.
Just knackered now. and the other one would be, the Christmassy one would be Walking in the Air, because, again, it'd be great to hear him do it. And he sort of looks a bit like the snowman.
I think he could get those.
He looks like the snowman.
I bet he could hit high notes.
I actually thought he had quite a nice voice when I saw that video of him.
Oh, was that with Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, I thought he did okay.
I like the fact he gets up there and has a sing song.
So do I, yeah.
Some people
will be snidey about it.
Will sneer at him. No,
more reserved than Peter Crouch doing crowd surfing at Kasabian. Kasabian, I ask you.
There's room for them both.
Yeah.
In popular culture.
Well, he's not going to. Kasabian would. Whatever you think of them, that it would be a poor form if they let Crouch on stage to sing, you know, Shoot the Runner.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Wouldn't it? Or he changed the words to Do Your Doggies or something.
Yeah. Shoot the Gunners, because it was in the day they beat
Shut
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Don't worry, better news for Arsenal fans this week.
Well, we're not covering them.
No. Hey, there's the joke. So you're going for...
I'm going for Mambo Number 5 / The Snowman.
Okay.
But we had a discussion...
Which I mean, we're walking in the air.
Do you want me next, yeah?
Please.
We had a discussion, didn't we? Are we just going to do normal songs or Christmas songs?
Well, you can do whatever you want. You can do one of each, just one.
I'm going for Wayne Rooney doing Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. Christmas is you to Paul Stretford.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be a lie.
In the video, he could just, you know, dance around looking sexy and singing to Paul Stretford. Paul Stretford could just be sat in a chair.
I bet a chair made of money. Yeah. Paul Stretford will go out and get Wayne Rooney's presents for him, I bet.
Yeah, definitely.
I would think so. Yeah. Mm. This is a great opportunity to remind everyone that Ashley Cole and Mariah Carey are actually related.
They are, aren't they? Mm. Yeah, apparently.
Go on.
So. Yeah, distant cousins.
Cousins, are, yeah.
Isn't
very
it like
strange.
You and...
Beck.
Beck, no, Beck. That's just a liar.
Oh, okay. Damn you, Jim. Okay, excellent. Pete?
I would go for either Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson's Uptown Funk, because quite frankly, I can't get enough of that song.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. I just want to hear it all the time, every day, every
Should
second
play it
of the day.
Cave of Funk.
Surely the West Wind would ruin the song you actually like when you get Wayne Rooney to sing.
Well, maybe. Or get him to do both of the parts to Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh!
And then in the middle, when he says the gay slayer, he gets an FA charge slapped on him.
It's only fair.
Steve Bruce is going, it happens to us, mate. in his accent.
Maybe Dave Whelan just so confused.
Yeah. Game's gone mad.
Yeah.
Again, not
I will
accent.
Resign if that's a racist line.
If I'm found guilty, and then I will be and I won't resign.
You've already resigned. Yeah, by that point, he would have already gone.
Yeah. I'd like to see Wayne, if it was Big Wazza, if it was a non-Christmas song. Because you know when he shouts and that angry face of his on TV? We saw it at Upton Park a couple of years ago. I think he could do a bit of punk. So something like maybe Pretty Vacant or Killing in the Name of. Going up to Van Hal, F you, I won't do what you tell me.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, that'd Van Hal would go, yeah, but you will, won't you?
Yeah, you will.
Playing that deeper role.
Yeah.
Maybe cut short the set without doing an encore, and then he can walk off going, nah, it's lovely having your Vans boo, you're in it.
While wearing a pair of punk rocko skateboard Vans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or dressed up like Russ Abbott when you're dressed as a punk.
Yeah.
More Russ Abbott chat. Yeah, 2015.
Yeah. More like Vivian from The Young Ones, with the stars in his head.
Yeah.
Russ Abbott's a couple of mentions in 2014.
I think it's going to be a big year for him, 2015. Russ.
He's coming back.
Certainly on this show, anyway.
We're not above very old references already on this day.
If we're going to go for a Christmassy one, Stop the Cavalry. Which I was at home for Christmas. I just like to see Wayne going dum 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 dum.
It's a great Christmas song. Yeah. It's a great Christmas song. So
it's quite monotone, isn't he? So the idea of him singing anything is fundamentally funny. I was going to go for the Scatman John song.
Oh, good.
He'd struggle with that, but it would be an entertaining watch.
Would we all not struggle with that, though?
Yeah, absolutely, but, you know, we're not being made to do it, as he would, theoretically.
Yeah.
I don't know how we enforce these things, yeah. But...
devil is coming.
We'll get to it. I think Pete's got the point.
Hey.
Well done, Peter.
Well done, mate.
You know, it's a season of goodwill.
Yeah.
But that's rude, especially because I didn't actually have an answer until the music came on.
What an amazing surprise.
Yeah, still walked over the point, so don't I?
Yeah. So, yeah. Marcus, you're endorsing that.
Yeah.
You're supporting that sort of ill-prepared behaviour.
Your regime is madness.
Coming from Luke never has an answer, Moore.
That's not
unbelievable.
True.
Unbelievable.
Pete, Marcus, can you put that party chat back in with you?
Don't worry, like every poorly given present, I've kept the receipt on those points. But talking of Christmas, we've got a compilation.
We have, yes. Before we go to the main bulk of the show, I thought I would just drop in here that, of course, we always give away a free show every week. We've done that for 7.5 years now, and we will continue to do that.
Thank you for journeying with us.
Yeah, we've done like 280-odd free shows now every week, and we'll continue to do free shows every week, of course. As long as the podcast is going, it will be free. Clearly. But what we thought we'd do this year as a little Christmas treat for us and for you is we have put together a Christmas compilation. Now, it's £1.79 on iTunes. We'd very much like you to download it. If you do want to purchase it and download it, it is available through the album section of iTunes. You won't be able to find it in the podcast section. So if you're using your phone or on the iTunes store on the computer, you need to go to iTunes Store Albums, not just podcasts. It won't come up. You, of course, won't get it automatically downloaded to your device as part of a subscription. You need to pay £1.79 for it. If you don't use iTunes, there's a non-iTunes link available where you can pay by PayPal, also for £1.79, of course. And all the details are available at footballramble.com. If you go to the footballramble.com, by the time the show comes out, you'll be able to find the link on the front page if you're not an iTunes user. But what it is, it's the best of all the best stuff we did, in our opinion, and Kelly Wells' opinion, of course.
Kelly, I listened through a lot of Ramble. Yeah. And, you know,
blame her
if
it's rubbish.
And even if we give her all of the money,
it's not enough.
It's not enough.
she compiled it and gave us the suggestions. Pete put it together and introduced it. The man who launched 1,000 TV shows, Pete Donaldson. So, yeah, a bit of added value there, Pete. I'm sure you agree.
You get the full version of the theme tune as well.
There you go.
Nice.
A lot of stuff on
it
there.
It was 170 before Pete put his voice to it.
Yeah, right. to sum up, £1.79, iTunes and non-iTunes. If you're not on an iTunes device, use thefootballramble.com and go and get it and give it a go and see what you think.
And big thanks for those who have bought it already.
Of course, support us, because it would also be amazing to get like an album in like the top 10 of iTunes or something.
We've been in the top 30, haven't we?
We were number 27 the other day.
Currently above Foo Fighters, which is hilarious. So come on, people.
Exactly. And hello to the man who I just opened my front door and was just going into a waiting taxi cab, and a man goes, "I'm listening to the best of the Ramble." I went, "You all right, mate? How's it going?
Can I have £1.79 back?" Yeah. I haven't got any change. Can you email us?
I thought he was going to do a citizen's arrest on me. I felt very guilty. Like I'd let him down somehow.
He knows exactly where you live as well.
I know, nice one. He's going to kick my door in.
Yeah. to sum up, £1.79, it's a donation, of course, but we're giving you something in return. It helps get the Ramble free for the rest of all time, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So get involved and get us to the top of the charts.
We're
not going to beat that Now Hit 63 thing that they just released. And we're not going to beat the X Factor, but I reckon we can get third.
And we're certainly never going to release an FA Cup song, so that's never going to happen.
Yeah, and a lot of your friends are the Ramble now, so you're with us.
Yeah.
So if you know,
like a binding contract.
If you want to be top of the charts as well, then do it. In the Premier League, QPR aren't going to be top of the charts, are they?
No.
It wasn't even a cover of Slade. It was a strange miming sing along,
out of time mime, but brilliant nonetheless.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
More of it.
Yeah, it was brilliant because it was so dreadful.
Correct.
It was so poorly executed. Yeah. And I realise I speak on behalf of. As one quarter of the Football Ramble, and I know when it comes to poorly executed things, my way around.
But it's amazing that they've even done this with ineptitude.
Yeah. They should be singing it. Don't.
If you haven't seen it, it's the QPR players and staff that have released a video miming to the Merry Christmas by Slade. I wondered if Glenn Hoddle was still involved. Well, he is, because he's on that video.
It was blatantly his idea.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't his idea, because his bit would have been him singing it, not miming it.
Yeah.
But I reckon he probably did sing his bit and they just cut it.
Oh, he'd be annoyed.
Just muted it.
He'd be very annoyed.
He probably is. He's probably left the club as we record this.
Simon Lights is a tune.
Yeah,
it is.
For a bit.
We've been through this. We've been through this.
It's always worth saying.
Yeah. I've got it on 7-inch single, so.
Have you actually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, what about that? Very strange stuff happening with QPR. Their players had a Christmas party lunch recently, which ended with Stephen Corker getting a badly cut head and going to hospital. Rob Green was asked how he got all bloody after rumours, and he said that Corker had slipped and fallen over. Green said, if you wanted an accurate headline on the story, it would be, man falls over.
Yeah.
Mm. A witness, though, told The Sun Britain's most reliable newspaper, definitely.
Mm. That's his name as well, A Witness. Alan Witness.
And Alan
He's
Witness.
Often on the phone to the Sun.
Yeah.
He's a pal of many celebrities as
along
well.
Along with Adam Source.
Apparently, Joey Barton was the peacemaker when it all kicked off. He was trying to break it up. So
the person who's written that story thought, well, I'm making this up anyway, so what else can I get away with? Mm. Joey Barton's a peacemaker.
And that's where they went wrong.
Yeah.
They'd chosen anyone else.
Yeah, no one's having that.
Come on, the Sun. Mm. Come on. But well done, QPR. But yeah, Pete, did you see the video?
Of the QPR singing, not the fight. I saw the QPR singing. It looked
were
like
you the source?
It was so badly. It was so badly executed in that they. It was like they'd just kind of woken them up and said, "Right, just open your mouth in like different intervals, and we'll just play." The
Is
song
it like the Pixie
top?
Video for "Here Comes Your Man"?
Yeah, exactly.
And they just open the mouth,
don't,
and the words come.
Don't
out
you find it
mind.
Curious that, of course, these football clubs are astronomically rich? Okay, so the money they get, the income they get, is huge. But of course, it all goes on players, and to a certain extent, managers and transfers. Right. So, in some ways. The other parts of the club are just completely neglected. So a lot of sites, I mean, Man City's is pretty good, but most sites' websites are dreadful. They're just a really bad, like, out-of-the-box thing.
Yeah.
All the staff, like the stewards and stuff like that, they get paid an absolute pittance, a disgrace. Yeah. I think Chelsea's the only Premier League club based in London that pays a living, the London living wage.
It's terrible.
And also, their media budget just must be tiny, because that looks so bad. If you think of the money that's in the Premier League clubs, they could make an amazing video, couldn't
they? But they've probably just got 20 minutes with each player for, you know, every month. And they go, well, we've got to do something with them. We've got nothing for them to do. Like you'll get Balotelli and
not winning games, not training.
Stuff Man City,
Sean Wright Phillips has got a camera. Get him down. Yeah. He's got nothing else on. It's good to see him, isn't it? It's good to know he's still there. Yeah. Although, didn't he have his beard like over his nose
at one point? He pulled it off, I think, at one point. Yeah, yeah. It's not had the greatest of direction that
video. It hasn't.
No.
But I think you're right. There should be more higher production values. Mm. Higher production values in such videos.
If we had a higher production value, we'd have cut that bit of you saying videos out.
Absolutely. Right. But no, we're not going to bother.
Get David Villa in. Sort it out.
He'll sort it right out. Manchester United beat Liverpool 3-0. Interesting lineups. Both, according to the formations on Sky Sports, anyway, went for a back three. Rooney in midfield with Fellaini. Mm. Van Gaal did say that he was going to do that at the start of the season, I think it was.
Well, it's long been sort of expected that Rooney would spend some portion of his career there. Do you remember when he first broke through? The player he was compared to most often was Gazza.
Yeah.
And, you know, it always made sense that it would work there, and it clearly did at the weekend.
But it's
cracking. Goal.
Yeah, true. I mean, Mata was playing in front of him, though, so he wasn't the out-and-out attacking midfielder, number 10, if you like,
which
we've seen him do before. But yeah, Wilson started up front with Van Persie.
I found that interesting. Mm. I found that because Van Gaal seemed to intimate that it was because he's got a lot of pace.
Yeah.
But then he had apparently a supposedly fully fit Falcao. Ready to pick from. I don't know what's happening with Falcao.
Well, he said he's only got 20 minutes in him or something.
It's weird, isn't it?
Van Gaal said.
I've heard rumours. It's been reported elsewhere, not by us, so I'll just pass on the message.
Sources again.
Alan Source told me.
So it was Adam Source.
Adam Source, yes, his brother, twins.
God, there's your production values.
Said that Falcao.
With different names.
Falcao may indeed not be the age he's claiming to be.
Oh, that's right. 2 years older.
So
still though,
if that's the case, yeah. But maybe that was that not widely reported a while back. It wasn't just. Like,
it was when. Yeah, it wasn't just.
Didn't he officially make his debut about 13?
Yeah, something
mad
like that.
Thing.
Right. Okay. So you wonder, and also he's had a serious injury. So you wonder if they dropped a bit of a clanger there signing him for that amount of money. I know it's, but the wages are big, aren't they? So
you'd think that would be like one of the thing they test for. Can they not DNA?
One
it
of the old bone
something?
Marrow.
You'd cut off a ring or something and see. Chuck the leg off.
Yeah. No, that's what they started doing in Nigeria, though, wasn't it? When the ages,
DNA test.
But they were going to start looking at bone marrow or something.
Yeah.
But maybe they did cut his leg off to get a ring, and that's why he's been out.
Yeah.
And the legs just. Taken a while to grow back.
But realistically, though, when they did the medical and stuff, they surely have a set of performance numbers you have to hit that they'd expect you to hit at your age for the position you play. Yeah. And you can hit those and you're okay.
But again, I mean, it's not an exact science. It's like how much the team need a player like that, how much the manager wants to sign him and stuff like that. And that's the first thing that anyone, that the doctors say that do these medicals. They say, look, I can tell them that a player's not fit, but if they want them, they're going to sign him.
Absolutely.
It's, it's just not.
Thomas Vermaelen, for example, looks like he's going to miss the entire season.
Right.
He was injured when Barcelona signed him, but sometimes clubs take a gamble, don't they? They want a player and just hope they'll get fit. Mm. And I mean, Van Gaal was in the press the other day saying that Falcao is going to have to get used to the idea of being a sub, basically. And that just seems unfathomable.
Yeah.
With the with the money they spent on him and the reputation he has, there's got to be something going on there, as you say.
Well, how would you drop off that much, though? Even if it's just one more year? You know,
well, a serious knee injury, if you're older than you say you are, is going to, those two things combined are going to have quite a serious impact.
But we've seen players before who have had big injuries and come back and not been quite themselves. He's a very explosive player, Falcao. Mm. So you've got the coming back from the injury, which he's had. When did he get injured? Was it January of last year? So it was early last year.
There was talk he was going to make it back in time for the World Cup, and then he couldn't.
But it's also not his first serious knee injury as well.
Yeah, so you've got the injury. Even if he is, whether he's 29, 31, whatever it is, you've got overcoming that very, very long knee injury. But also, he was playing in Monaco. He's playing in Ligue 1, La Ligue before, of course. And now he's playing in the Premier League. So, some players find it tricky to adapt anyway. So you've got two big things there coming together. So don't be too surprised. I don't think he's been terrible in a Manchester United shirt. He's come on and he's looked a little bit lively. Mm. But I think the point is you're surprised he's not starting. But I think with you're not going to drop Rooney, and Van Persie's obviously probably the best striker there in terms of leading the line.
Yeah, but so, James Wilson ahead of him?
Well, I think that Liverpool have been pretty poor this season for their own, high standards from last season. Don't need me to point that out. But, they're playing a back three with Glenn Johnson in there and Brad Jones in goals. Now, fair enough, Van Gaal doesn't know that he's going to go for Jones instead of Mignolet. But they were there for the taking.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's why he's gone for Wilson there.
He probably believes
in the young man.
And he did, Van Gaal did say before the game that he picked Wilson because of his pace, because he thinks he can hurt him with his pace. And, of course, he did find it difficult, Wilson. But overall, I thought the game was a really poor quality game anyway. I mean, the passing was dreadful.
Well, this is what Gary Neville suggested last week, was it, when he said it would be like
the
a
dog
pub
and
game.
Duck or whatever.
Yeah, Van Gaal wasn't having any of that, But obviously, that's what Neville meant.
But Man United have been dropping passes all season.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Like, real sort of just slider, normal passes that you expect people to make. They're just not making them.
Because I don't think... Because if you think of... When I think of the players, and of course, some of these players are currently injured, but if you think of the players that are not always starting, but you think of the players that United have got, and certainly midfield, like Mata, Herrera, Blind, you don't think of that. I think of those as being technicians, those
absolutely
players.
Yeah,
I don't think of those as being
pass playing technicians. Yeah.
I'd love to see sort of interception stats from last season compared to this season on Manchester United, because people are just going, I'll have that, I'll have that, thanks.
There was a period in midfield of about 10 or 15 minutes where it felt like during that game that they just couldn't put two or three passes together.
But also Carrick's come in for a bit of praise, obviously slotting into the defence as well, but there's a ball playing centre back or player, I don't think it's because of him, but he's going to pass a decent pass out from the back line. It's not as if you've got a clogger back there.
Has Brendan Rodgers kind of earned himself a stay of execution with the season they had last year?
I would think so and hope so, because I think he's than we're seeing.
He had one season overachieving
and now he's got to deal with the consequences of that, isn't it? It's
but
a funny one.
Is it as complicated as that? Is it worth exploring the possibility that Brendan Rodgers had one of, if not the best striker in the world last season, and a firing, a player who was so good that he actually brought a load of other players into play, gave them the space they needed to play, and really, defensively, they've probably got a touch worse this season, but they weren't great defensively last season.
No,
and what you've done is they've removed their two best forward players, and this is the
and
result.
Gerrard's a year older.
I because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this how I think it was Michael Cox said tactically, Rodgers has always been a patient build-up Barcelona under Guardiola type manager. That's his like philosophy.
Yeah, he loves a side pass. Swansea when he was there,
but last season Liverpool weren't like that at all. So did he stumble upon that by accident, and now he's actually getting his just desserts because the players have gone? Because I don't think, when I see Rodgers, because look at, judge a manager on the following things. You judge a manager on, of course, how they play. We just talked about that. But his signings have been dreadful. Of course, there's a transfer sort of committee at Liverpool. I understand that. But Rodgers still has an input in that. His transfers overall have been dreadful, absolutely dreadful. There's been one or two that have been okay. This season, it's early days, but they've still been poor. I don't think he has any idea what his best team is at the moment. And I also think the thing he said, which I'm not sure if you're going to touch on, Marcus, when he sort of said, Mignolet's dropped indefectly, that's a really,
really
unhelpful, odd thing to say.
When you've got Brad Jones, to come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've not got an old... He's not got Brad Friedel, for example.
No.
Who can come in and play the rest of the season or something.
You wonder how that's supposed to motivate Mignolet. I mean, he must have thought of that. He must have thought of what he's saying in that situation. It's a very unusual choice of words, so therefore you figure it must be deliberate. But you just... I mean, how much would that knock your confidence?
It's been a long time since a Premier League team have had such a big goalkeeping problem, I think. And they've had it for a little while. I don't see how they can get out of this one.
He basically put all his stock in Mignolet. He basically... This is I know Rennie went for differing reasons, but he obviously wanted Mignolet. He went out to get him. He paid top dollar to get hold of him. And he's not. And I think the game he was dropped for, you know, it was the first Premier League game he's been dropped for. Since he played for them when fit. So obviously Rodgers has stuck with him for a long time.
Yeah.
But surely if you were asked that as a manager, you would just say, well, I judge each player on his merits and training and lots of other different pieces, and we'll pick the best keeper for the best occasion.
It's strange, isn't it? I thought, going back to what you were saying about Rodgers, you know, one not bad season, great season, and now here we are. But again, we've got to be careful not to be too... too quick. Well, exactly, because we moan about that a lot, and sometimes a team has a better year than the next year. Unfortunately, we are in this case of results now.
I'm not definitely saying he should be fired. I think there's a decent chance, because the game's come so quick and over Christmas, and he's of course got an important game away at Bournemouth tomorrow night in the League Cup. I think there's a chance he may be given the boot, because I think those owners won't hang around too long. That's what I think.
Blimey. But talking of goalkeepers, David De Gea.
He's fantastic.
Bloody enormous. I mean, he's been their best player this season, you could argue.
He's absolutely fantastic.
He's been their player of the month for the past 2 months, hasn't he?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if he got player of the season for a goalkeeper to get that?
I mean, he made such a huge difference, because, you know, for all the talk of Liverpool's dysfunction, they had some chances.
Sterling!
He was just, yeah.
How many one-on-ones did he have? Four? Something like that?
I mean, he had...
He should be putting away at least one
or four. I mean, especially that one early in the second half.
Where he took an extra touch.
I know Sterling, obviously, he's a brilliant player and all, but your end product can't be that weak. Like, it was so weak.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he looked like a player playing out of position and unsure of himself when he took those shots. And De Gea, by contrast, looked so sure of himself, like to the point where he didn't even look fazed when he just made like a string of incredible saves. He just looked like he was getting on with his day at work, you know.
I think the biggest problem with De Gea is that, like, and he got a lot of criticism. I think, in fairness to us, we've always said he's a good keeper. I mean, we thought he was good, but for once, we've actually got it right. But the problem with De Gea is that he looks like he's just got out of bed all the time. Yeah. He's never had a shave. He looks like he's not bothered.
He looks like the 1980s character Tommy Tippy before he had a redesign.
Is that really a problem?
No, I just think it lures people into a false sense of security to think he's not bothered, and it's easy for people to get on his back, because he also used to be quite skinny as well.
If you
think
of he's filled out, isn't he?
They're two great keepers of the Premier League era, Schmeichel and Van der Sar. They're both big presences. Schmeichel certainly so, but David De Gea has a little bit more of a slim-line, diminutive character.
Yeah. So is Van der Sar,
also very young.
No, but Van der Sar was big and tall and imposing.
He's like Tim Krul and Petr Cech, I think. Those kind of tall, kind of thin,
makes
thin
a difference.
And also, Van der Sar was at the sort of back end of his career, really. I mean, he went a lot longer than people expected him to. Mm. And when he signed for United, he was already a very highly established international football player.
Yeah. And also established Premier League goalkeeper.
There you go. So with De Gea, I think it's taken a bit of time, but positionally, he is so good. I've never known a keeper that I can think of now who has so many shots right at him, and that can't be a coincidence.
Absolutely.
It cannot be a coincidence.
You're spot on. I mean, that one against Jack Wilshere against Arsenal.
Yeah.
When on a one-on-one, you back him.
That's true, yeah.
Like you used to with Schmeichel.
Yeah, part of the reason for that, and again, this is similar to Schmeichel, is that he's so good with his feet, and that's quite often the sign of a goalkeeper that doesn't really know what they're doing. You see it five-a-side and seven-a-side quite a lot. And you do, don't you? But knowing when to use your feet is a really, really massive skill.
And staying on your feet for a long time on a one-on-one is really important. Schmeichel's ideal at
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. And he'd be so quick going down as well. He'd stay on his feet and do that kind of jogging motion.
Yeah, so, I mean, strikers say they want the goalkeeper to give some sort of inclination of what they're going to do, but he doesn't do that, does he? He makes them make the decision.
Well, as you look at Brad Jones, who in my view is a poor keeper, he tries to anticipate, because I don't think he has the confidence, the presence and the reactions. So that's why he dived completely the wrong way for the first United goal. And
it's all over the place at the third.
He was, yeah. I think, actually, on a more broad point, I wouldn't write United off for the title, you know?
No, well, I mean, they're really not far behind now. Well, is it six wins in a row?
Yeah.
I mean,
you look at... Yeah,
fun's over, boys.
Taken Pardew's record this year. But... But
the reason, just, can I just expand quickly on the reasons, real quick, why I think so? One, because they've got key players out, and they're going to come back and strengthen them, and they're still winning. Secondly, they're going to strengthen in January, I'm pretty sure of that. Thirdly, have you seen their fixture list between now and March? I think the only hard game on paper they've got between now and March is a visit to White Hart Lane. And Spurs aren't doing great anyway at home. They've got more points away from home this season. And then also, Chelsea and City will hopefully try and get deeper into the Champions League.
Yeah.
And United haven't got that. And United are this team who, are, as a club, are used to playing 2-3 games a week, but they don't have to do that this season. I think that could be worth 3, 4, maybe 5 points. And they're only 8 points behind.
Yeah.
And you look at Van Gaal's record, though, we may have said this, many others have, when he was at Barcelona and Bayern, they started slowly.
And, yeah,
and again with Bayern, I think...
You got on that mad run at Bayern. Yeah,
well, at Bayern, I think you got to October and there was talk of, oh, is he the right man for the job? And by the end of the season, they'd won the league and they were in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
You know, he has a history of starting slowly.
And also, on top of that, you look at the games they've won without really looking impressive yet, which is... With the players they've got, the manager they've got, and the team they are, inevitable at some point this season. They've won a tough away game, or a tough on paper away game at Arsenal. Just battered Liverpool at home.
Yeah.
Like, these aren't the easy fixtures, and they're still coming through them.
But, I mean, they have ridden their luck.
They have, but the point is they've done that.
Well, that is it. And so, therefore, your point still stands, Luke, that they could be in a shout for the title. And we can say, you know, Van Gaal, perhaps the reason why he does look so confident and relaxed is because he's been there before. But you look at those games, and against Southampton should have got at least a point there. Arsenal should have won that game. And another day, Liverpool could have scored 4.
Some of the best Man United teams have done that, though.
Yeah, do you think this is maybe the aura to that extent of United coming back?
Yeah, massively. Fergie time. Where's Fergie time?
But the answer to the question is, Or the next question should be then, at what point does what's happening now with Van Gaal United, at what point does that stop being a coincidence? At what point does that stop being, on paper, in quotes, lucky? At what point is that actually part of a bigger plan?
Well, they're lifting the blooming title.
Because the more they win, the more confident they're going to get.
Absolutely, of course. You know, I mean, do you think part of it is the aura of United coming back? They've got this run of wins now. People are looking at that. They remember this. They're remembering that this is Man United. And, you know, they're starting to make mistakes and be a bit fearful.
The margins, aren't they, in football? How it can just so easily go one way or the other.
And then a difficult start as well, by the way.
Because if Wilshere does put that one away, and Arsenal do have chances, Arsenal win that game, and it's different. But in the same way, if Dennis Bergkamp puts that penalty away in the semi-final in 99, well, then they're out, and so on and so forth. But I think the difference is, and perhaps this is the overall point that we're all making together, in it together...
Is that Dennis Bergkamp is a fuck-up?
No, that's definitely not what we're saying. But it is that... That they've won those games and they will get momentum from it.
And confidence.
And they'll go, exactly, and they go on. And the points are in the bag and they're only 6 points off the top.
Yeah.
My giddy aunt. Just quickly, this did amuse me because obviously Balotelli came on at half time and I thought he did okay, actually. Might have scored, but again, great save from De Gea. But Adel Tarat putting the boot in. With him.
What did Tarat say?
He has a strong shot, because obviously he's talking about when he played with him at Milan, but he said he has a strong shot, but he doesn't play for the team, or if he does, then he doesn't score, which is the case now with Liverpool. He has had a lot of chances and he threw them all away.
Wow. Hypocrisy corner with Adel Tarat.
I couldn't believe he said that.
That's a real kick in the teeth. Can I just say quickly before you move on that United are actually 8 points on the top, not 6. I've literally just realised that. You said 6, they're 8 off.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, right.
Sorry.
Even so,
6 wins in a row, wasn't it?
Yeah, 6 wins in a row, 8 points off the top.
Forgive me.
Can't you bother with the tweets, mate?
Yeah.
Just thought I'd let you know.
No, I appreciate that. No,
I'll feel the tweets.
All it is just the stroke of a brush.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. Speaking of courts...
Would that work with the FA? Yeah.
Van Gaal's court, Marcus?
Oh, which one?
Oh, Van Gaal hates Jeff Shreve, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
That's going to endear him to them.
What was that one?
Well, I told you before about when Shreve's asked him to tell him the thinking behind his team, and he just listed his team in order and didn't say anything else. And then before the Liverpool game, he was just complete contempt for him. He's just getting through the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is I think that Jeff Shreves has told people that they're mates.
Oh, he will have done.
Yeah. What was the quote you were going to say, Pete?
Well, Van Gaal's, you got it, haven't you, Marcus?
Shall I? He obviously, talking off the back of the win, he said, everyone is happy now. My cook is happy and my wife is happy because we beat Liverpool.
That word cook, definitely misspelling.
Yeah. Exactly.
Interesting that the cook comes before his
wife.
Actually,
exactly.
I'll stop you there, Peter, because even if it was cock, kok means cook or chef in Dutch, I believe.
Oh.
And so the footballer, I forget his first name, de Kok means the chef. And this is brilliant. I never... And
you know, talking about Martin Jol's brother?
No.
Martin Jol's got a brother called Kok Jol.
Mm. Oh, does he?
Yeah.
But if you... and you realise this with, obviously, if you knew your history about wars that happened in South Africa, Boer means farmer.
Yeah.
So it's Frank de Boer is Frank the Farmer.
Oh, nice.
That's his name, or Ronald the Farmer.
Great. Yeah.
Wonderful, isn't it?
It's like Tony Christmas.
Yeah. Frank the Farmer.
Lovely.
Like there you are. Eric the Apple.
Eric the Apple. Marvellous stuff.
Get on with it, you cook.
Yeah. there was another derby. Obviously, Manchester United, Liverpool is a derby. West Brom, Aston Villa, a tasty one.
Mm.
The tackles were flying in. Yeah, you could study this one.
That was a nasty one from Kieran Richardson, wasn't it?
Gordon Bennett.
He looked completely distraught at being sent off, like he couldn't understand why that's not allowed.
Well, I think he was as if to say, I'm just getting in the spirit of things.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's
doing
it.
No, you've gone over the line.
Yeah.
I know, Hutton was having a little bit of a kick, wasn't he?
Like when there's a house party and everyone's having fun, like someone jumps up and down the sofa, someone like opens a bottle of vodka and then and drinks it when they're not supposed to, and someone else like puts a porn channel on the telly, and then someone kills a pet.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable.
It's
please
point.
Leave.
Get out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, it is. It's a get out.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
get
what it
out.
Is.
Yeah, and that's what the referee's done.
Yeah, get out.
Get out. You've let everyone down.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean it, Harry. Yeah. That's what Kieran Richardson was saying. Yeah. But Gardner got the only goal.
Celebrated against his old club. Good to see.
Good to see. You would imagine in that kind of atmosphere and that kind of game. Yeah. It's a good win for West Brom. Lovely to see Alan Irvine celebrating.
Unexpected win, really, because Aston Villa have been better away from home.
Yeah, well, they were down to 10, weren't they? And they, to be fair, West Brom still made quite hard work of it. They had the best of it, but they could have won by more than that. Absolutely. Benteke had an incredibly poor shot towards the end as well. Like, we were talking last week about how he seems to be back in some form, but no.
I was pleased for Irvine because he looks a little sad from time to time. To see him jumping around and all pleased, I thought,
he's got very long eyelashes, hasn't he? Mm.
Maybe that's it.
Something of the woodland about him.
I was about to say something of like the camel about him.
Yes,
a woodland camel. I think we can all agree.
One of the pretty camels that used to advertise Cadbury's picnics in the
80s.
Yeah, I think we're all agreeing.
Oddly sexualised camel.
Mm. A woodland camel with Santa Cazorla on his back.
Lovely.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Roaming around the New Forest.
That is an image.
The animals of Farthing Wood, Sandy Cazorla.
The animals of the Hawthorns.
Yeah.
It's got a ring to it, that.
It does.
More on that sort of thing later.
Yeah.
Oh,
he stumped me there as well, listeners.
Yeah, all right.
Swansea lost 2-1 to Spurs at home. Swansea shouldn't have lost that game. No. I did quite like it. They were playing White Riot by the Clash just before kickoff. Get everyone up for it.
Can anyone imagine how many chances Wilfred Bonny's going to have next time they play Man United? Because he seems to get like 100 chances a game.
It's ridiculous.
And Man United dish out 100 chances a game anyway. He's going to get infinity chances for the first time in history.
Yeah, but De Gea will be like, right, seriously, we need to tighten up because this is going to be tough even for me. Yeah, I don't want him booting it off my chest.
Yeah. Bonny's such a strange player to watch because he's got quite a bit of pace on him, but he's so chunky that he looks like he's moving quite slowly. It's like, you know when you watch F1 and you know the reason people like it is that it's really fast, but it looks really slow on the telly. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And also in my head, I know that where Wilfred Bonny's a really good player. His goal scoring record is fantastic. But I still can't shake it in my mind that he looks like he might be a little bit of a donkey. But he's not a donkey.
Strange,
but he's not one.
It?
He's not one.
Do you think I can understand that. I personally don't get that. I really enjoy watching Bonny, especially this season. He's been superb. Mm, but it wasn't enough, Petey.
No.
Because Harry Kane leapt for joy to
all action, Harry Kane.
He is, isn't he? He could run for a long time.
Well, I think that was his third Premier League goal of the season. He's obviously struggling slightly to replicate his Europa League form. But he's still having an impact.
Yeah,
he's a very good, we've talked about this before, he's a very good old-fashioned sort of hard worker striker.
He's still kind of like, by default, player of the season for
Spurs.
Yeah,
right.
Because they're having such a stinker.
But the thing with...
they're actually not doing that badly, though. That's the thing. Sorry to cut in there, but he is... They're picking up the wins.
Well, they're better away from home. They've got more points away from home this season. But I was just going to say about Kane is that clearly forced his way into the team on merit this season.
Yeah.
That helps a little bit because Soldado's not scoring and Adebayor's got his own problems. So, but it's great to see a young English player doing that. It shows that they can actually do it. And he was lively. He took his goal well. Eriksen's goal towards the end was good. But Swansea were battering him at that point. Absolutely destroying him.
They should not have lost that.
And it was one of those games that became really dramatic because of the weather and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Well, was it a few weeks ago that Neil Warnock was saying that he tried to get Harry Kane on loan, but Spurs said we need him for the Europa League? So you can see where their thinking was with him. He's done so well to get over that kind of prejudice.
Eriksen loves a late goal.
Yeah, he does. Mm.
So do Spurs, actually. There's a few smash and grabs going on away.
They've had a ridiculous amount of 2-1 wins.
Yeah, because they keep going 1-0 down.
I think they've had 6-2-1 wins in their last 8 league games.
Richard Herring keeps pointing out on Twitter that they go 1-0 down, Alan Sugar moans, and then they win 2-1.
Yeah. Actually, is it 2-1 wins or 2-1 scorelines? I think they might have lost one or two.
Colin Bly's proper name, Lord Sugar.
Lord Sugar, yeah.
Apparently in the House of Lords, someone was telling me that if you refer to the Lords or the Ladies as by their title, they go...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh, just call me Stephen or yeah, Alice or whatever. Yeah. He's the only one who goes, no, it's Lord Sugar. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, damn right, he's worked hard to get where he is.
Just saying. Yeah. Make your own minds up on that. Pete's kept his, whatever you were about to say, internally.
I was thinking about the singer Lord E. Is it Lordy or Lord?
Oh, the girl from New Zealand.
Yeah. Mm. The girl from New Zealand.
Yes.
Mother.
Is that one of the songs? I'm a bit behind on the charts.
That leads neatly to Chelsea Hull. Naughty Gary Cahill.
God, yeah, naughty William, naughty Diego Costa
was
as well.
Am I the only one that thinks that was just quite a weird game? Lots of weird
so
stuff
strange.
Happened. Yeah.
Steve Bruce couldn't muster up the words after the end of the game, could he? He was baffled.
Yeah.
And rightly so. Yeah, Gary Cahill went in very hard on Aluko. I mean, that could have been a red in itself.
Yeah, it's very clumsy.
Obviously going to got booked and then escaped the second booking with a clear dive.
It's really frustrating that, because you very, very rarely, to the point where I can't think of a single example of it, see a player get a second yellow for diving. Players are getting booked more often for diving when they're not on a card, but it's almost as if the referees see it as half an offence. So it's a booking if you've not been booked, it's not if you have. And I think that's ridiculous.
I think they're worried if they get it wrong, it's a big thing to send someone off a dive.
But I don't know what more Gary Cahill could have done to make it obvious that he was diving. Yeah. It wasn't like a difficult one. It wasn't like, oh, it's Gareth Bale running at real pace. Yeah. And he might have been touched. Maybe, it was a ridiculous dive.
If he'd maybe like done a forward roll and then a bow afterwards.
Yeah.
Huddleston got a straight red.
He did, yeah.
He did, yeah.
That was a bit annoyed, though, wasn't it?
But Cahill's on a loop,
though. Proper naughty boys on that, man.
I think Huddleston's was worse.
I understand what you're saying, but in the context of what the referee has to do for his job, it's not going to... He can't not give a red for that because he made a mistake earlier.
Yeah.
He has to give the red for that. If anything, he's more inclined to because he realises that he's made a mistake beforehand or something like that. They've got to be taken in isolation. He can't... Otherwise, people are going to get hurt.
Yeah. Obviously, we said Harry Kane scored a swooping header, if that's the right description. Well, Hazard did as well.
Yeah, it's popped up, didn't they? Popped up.
Yeah.
Arrived late.
Mm-hmm.
Popped up in there.
Making a mockery of the height.
Yeah.
On display.
Making a mockery of the generally accepted wisdom about people good at headers.
That's right.
Yeah.
As did Paul Scholes.
When was that? He just got a weekend, did he?
No, he was just very good with his head in the air, wasn't he?
Yeah, Mourinho was saying afterwards that Diego Costa... people are judging him on his previous reputation and that Chelsea are a clean team who don't dive. It's like, I've got some demonstrable evidence that you do dive.
Yeah. I love it how it's
the game that you're doing an interview afterwards.
Yeah.
We all saw that.
Yeah. Diego Costa, that's his old image. What, last season?
Yeah.
That's why you signed him.
Yeah.
It's not like Costa's been around for 8 years. Yeah. Yeah. And then we've all known him. We've known him pretty much only for last season.
He looks like he's been around for 80.
He does, yeah.
He's so old looking.
Can you imagine Mourinho when he was... Yeah, Chelsea had the deal in place halfway through the season. Yeah. They bought him because Mourinho loves a player like that.
Yeah.
Old image. Mm. Nonsense, Jose. Steve Bruce, he was asked to comment on reports coming from France, which have said that Hatem Ben Arthur is in Paris working on his fitness and looking for a new club. I love what Bruce said here. I suppose the confusion of the game dragged its way into this quote as well. He said about Ben Arthur, he is not AWOL. He could be in Paris, though. He's not AWOL. I've no idea where he is.
Right, so he's gone somewhere without permission. You know where he is, but he's not AWOL.
But he sent me a picture.
He's not said he's gone somewhere without permission, isn't he? It sounds like Bruce has just gone, yeah, fuck off. Like, just go somewhere. I don't care where it is.
Yeah.
He sent me a picture and he just had, like, flakes of pastry all around his mouth.
How did you get in here, anyway?
Bonsoir.
Yeah.
Ben Arthur. Dear, oh,
it's
dear.
Such a shame that his application's so poor, isn't it? Pete, you watched him closer than we have as a Newcastle fan, but it seems to me that he's like brilliant about once in every eight games.
We also scored a great goal against Fulham before we got absolutely taken to the cleaners. He just beat everyone.
Was that literally the last time we did something good, though?
No, but do you remember that run where was it from his own half?
Blackburn in the FA Cup. It's probably one of my favourite goals I've ever seen.
Yeah, and there was that right-footed one across the keeper into the top. Yes. I mean, there's a number of moments.
Is that a fair assessment, would you say, though, that quite often he just doesn't seem to put the effort in?
It's not even the effort, I don't think. I think it's just like, you're never going to get any defending out of him. He's like any sort of one of those players. You wouldn't ask, you know, a lot of players like that to defend, but it's just he just goes missing, and unless a team's being built around him, he's just not interested.
But yeah, the thing is, it's funny, isn't it? Because I would agree with
also
that.
Also, he's fat as fuck.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But the same pastries.
I think what he doesn't realise is he's not giving a manager or a club any inclination whatsoever to build a team around him.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Terat and Revel Morrison, for example. They've obviously got players with the ability to, if you were to build a team around him, they would probably do really well. But at the same time, halfway through that process, you would be fired because he would win any games.
Weirdly enough, because he always comes back off pre-season. Everyone says, oh, he's chubby or whatever, and Pardew's pretty much said more or less that's the same. But somebody I know, I'm probably not going to mention who it is, but he went for like a club tour around all of the change rooms and stuff in the tactics room, and they had like a BMI, is it BMI? Body fat index or whatever, and he wasn't the fattest player. It was Mehdi Abid was the heaviest player. Mm.
But that's a very it's a very unscientific method. Exactly.
Yeah, heaviest and fattest are not the same.
Indeed, yeah, absolutely right. Mm. Some people are broader than others. Marcus, for example, is a very broad man. He's not going to... His BMI score is not going to be great, but at the same time, he's not a fat man, is he? So,
that's very kind of you.
I mean,
that's
he right. eats terribly.
Who, Marcus? Yeah, he does.
No, with my mouth closed. Arsenal beat Newcastle 4-1. Yeah, Jim, did you want Newcastle to win that one? Or were you just,
no, generally, I wanted my own team to win.
For the sake of the show?
No, not for the sake of the show. It was really enjoyed it.
For the sake of my tweets.
It was the most,
I get them anywhere.
Yeah. I can weigh in with something regarding Richard Keys about Cazorla's penalty. If you want.
Oh, yeah, I loved this.
And what was this?
Richard Keys tweeted, clever Cazorla's pen, but I think it showed a total lack of respect to the young keeper. And to switch the first reply from a guy called Jack, who says... Ha 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 ha, fuck off, you teddy bear headed gimp.
Wonderful.
That's not to mention all the ones just, again, as ever, just saying banter. And, which I will never find unfunny. As well as plenty of people weighing in with, you disrespected Sean Massey and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not one to be talking about respect.
Did Cazorla disrespect?
No, he scored a goal.
It was a wonderfully louche penalty. I think even he would have wanted to go in a little bit quicker.
Birthday. Yeah. It was a lovely birthday chip.
Oh, he's 30, was
it? The thing about it is, regardless of how derisive we are of Richard Keys, and in my view, rightly so, he is clearly still an opinion for football in this country. And it's comments like that which contribute, not hugely, but contribute at least a little bit to England being shit at football. don't think about showing any sort of skill or flair in anything you do, because that is disrespectful. Do you think other countries care about that?
Not very
English.
When
they're knocking us out of tournaments.
I love that. It was a run up and a dink.
Yeah.
It's a lovely one. I'm sure the goalkeeper's not feeling disrespected, just annoyed that he's conceded a goal. He's tricked him, isn't he? That's the point of that technique.
His job is to put the... that magician Dynamo, disrespecting all the people with his card tricks.
What, imagine the Vega after the game. Nice one for scoring that, Santi, but next time, just make it so it's slightly easier for the keeper to save. I don't want him to save it, but I want to at least think at some point he could have saved it.
Is that why we're so bad at penalty shootouts? We don't want to disrespect the goalkeeper. Yeah. So, all right, well, I'll put it to you midway to your left.
Can you please give Newcastle United's third goalkeeper respect, please? He's clearly earned it with his two matches.
If anything, that's going to stand the keeper in good stead. Welcome to the big leagues, pal.
Absolutely,
it's how it works.
Yeah. And he's going to be more aware of that sort of thing in future. It was the most I've enjoyed watching Arsenal this season. They were fantastic.
They were really good.
That's the main thing. That's the main thing.
Cazorla scored a dinked brace.
He did get a dinked brace on his birthday.
His first goal was a lovely finish.
Oh, it was beautiful. And Giroud's second goal was
wonderful,
superb
piece of
as well. I love Giroud. He gets a lot of criticism from some quarters, and Arsenal's play gets quite often accused of having a lot of like flicks and tricks in it for no reason. But Giroud is a great one for flicks, yet they always have purpose. It's always bringing someone else in. It's always like proper link-up play, and it's brilliant to see that. I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Do you think the people who were chanting Wenger's name towards the end of the game when it was won at the weekend are the same people who were chanting Wenger out a few weeks ago?
No,
that would be horrendous.
It would be absolutely horrendous. But I think the...
Understand why it looks like to a casual look at me that
it
might
absolutely,
be,
of course.
It's a bit embarrassing.
I wouldn't say it was embarrassing because I don't think it's those people. But I guess it must... Well, I suppose maybe when you say it's embarrassing, it looks like a set of fans at war with each other, which is basically what is going on at Arsenal. The camps are very much split at the moment, and the Wenger out crowd have been very very quiet because Wenger won a game.
It's a very mature bit of temperance from you, Luke, looking into a club and going and making comments about it.
Anyway, Newcastle got battered, so Pete's happy. Is that better?
Wenger found a very unlikely ally in November Manager of the Month, Alan Pardew.
Yeah, he rolled over nicely, didn't he?
Yeah. Big Pard said that the stadium should be named after Arsene Wenger.
I seem to recall.
Wonder if the sponsors
didn't Pardew win Manager of the Month pretty much the same time last season.
Is it true that St Joseph's Park is going to be renamed the Shut Your Fucking Noise, You Fucking Old Cunt Stadium?
Pardew's Palace.
Yeah. Well, if Mike Ashley gets hit with that £10,000 fine north of the border,
that's unbelievable, isn't it? He probably makes that in a day from shorts that have been left on the floor in Sports Direct shops alone.
Yeah.
He probably shits gold leaf dinners he's eating into his helicopter toilet.
Be painful, that.
Is that the toilet in his helicopter, or has he got a specific toilet that has a helicopter on it that he uses to go to the toilet?
Imagine
flying around.
Little poo drone. Mike Ashley's poo drone.
You go to Mike Ashley's house for the first time. Can I use your toilet, Mike? Yes, you can. Where is it? Just up the stairs on the left. Thanks. It's a helicopter toilet. It's a what? I'm not using it.
It's
I'll
a
go in the garden.
Sports Direct branded helicopter toilet.
Poo drone.
You get it free whenever you buy a helicopter at Sports Direct.
Mike Ashley's poo drone.
He just likes a bit of fun. And he'd be the exact sort of person who has a helicopter in his toilet.
This is why you shouldn't be wealthy, because this is the sort of thing you would do.
It's why it should be. I would certainly argue. Thierry Henry, he's retired.
Yeah. I think Thierry Henry is a superhero. Mm. And because he's aged so well, I can't get it out of my head that if he came back to Arsenal for one last stint, he would be exactly the same as he was in his pomp.
As a man who's seen him play for the Red Bulls this season, I can assure you, in no uncertain terms, that is not the case. Yeah. But I understand what you're saying.
He still scored some absolute belters for them in recent times as well. But yeah, what an incredible footballer he was. What a career he's had.
Legend of the game. Legend of the game.
Fourth in the Premier League all-time scoring charts. Joint fourth of Frank Lampard.
But let's remember, Henry did it in a much shorter period.
And Frank Lampard's a midfielder.
Yeah, but he's been there.
This is not the time to be deriding.
I'm not deriding anything. I'm saying Frank's up there.
World Cup winner
Frank Lampard.
No, not at time of recording.
2018.
Yeah.
Gutierrez could be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Brilliant news.
Will he unseat Sami Amiobi though? Yeah. That's the question.
Yeah. Who knows?
Will he?
Talking of former players, Asprilla. Bit of trouble in Colombia.
Yes.
Yeah, terrible, terrible shame. Although, I've got to say, in the Blizzard this month, there's a wonderful article on Asprilla by Jim Davis, which is well worth checking out. Because
you do a lot of stuff with the Blizzard. I do. You're Blizzard whore.
Yeah. I don't write for them. Don't worry. But yeah, it is worth checking out because Tino Asprey, wonderfully.
You never run out of stories with Tino Asprey. Always up to something.
But the recent ones have been pretty horrible. But we wish him well. But Champions League draw, Arsenal, eh? Got away with that, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yes, I do
Arsenal
know, Jim.
Arsenal found out a whole new hilarious way of getting knocked out of the Champions League.
This is exactly what I fear. Yeah. It's the first time Arsenal have played Wenger's old club, which is going to be a strange odd little quirk.
Wait, old club. He's been absolutely.
So what's Man City's sporting director moaning about again?
Brilliant, isn't it? I love the fact that Begiristan, the City draw. He used to play for Barcelona, I believe.
Yeah, he did. Yes.
When the draw was he was asked to comment. He went, "It's unbelievable. Every tie is the same. We had Bayern Munich and CSKA Moscow in the group phase, and now we have to deal with Barcelona again. Yes, win your group, big lad."
This is the Champions League, though, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's good. And also, I mean, you're in a major position at one of the big clubs in the world. You should really understand the seeding system.
Yeah, yeah.
Oi, it's unbelievable, Jim. They're in a group with Bayern and Moscow and Barcelona. Apparently, according to him, are all the same.
Yeah.
Different ties. Yeah.
Absolutely. That European giant CSKA Moscow.
As a general rule of thumb.
That's the weirdest thing about it.
Yeah. As a general rule of thumb, if you want to be seeded in Europe, you have to do good in Europe. That's it.
If you want to, win your group, you won't play Barcelona. Hmm. You know,
or don't win your group and get Monaco.
Barcelona aren't as good as they have been in recent years.
Exactly.
Man City are arguably the world's richest club. They should be saying, right, whoever, we'll take whoever.
Right, yeah. We're only playing Henri era Barcelona.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
So there you are. There you are. What else have we got? Let's go to the Championship, eh? Bournemouth at top of the bloody league.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Can't stop scoring.
It would be fantastic.
It's a brilliant problem.
Wouldn't it be amazing to see them in the Prem?
It would.
We mentioned the stadium.
Brentford. Imagine if Bournemouth and Brentford got promoted this season.
Absolute class.
Another brilliant trip for those Northerners. Oh, good, Bournemouth.
Southampton would love it, wouldn't they? Yeah. At Middlesbrough, they continue their fine form. Good win over Derby.
Derby looked really listless. They just
I mean, they're still
did
up
not
there.
Look. They of course they are. But they were
good
second
side,
best by a long way.
Middlesbrough are a good side.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan
good.
Woodgate was going to be on the bench because he's recovered from his hamstring injury. His hamstring injury that's lasted 20 years.
His 114th individual hamstring injury.
I had just assumed he retired a long time ago. I had no idea he was still playing.
But I love the fact that it's not a case of he's still playing, he's still getting injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
He'll be put in the Football Hall of Fame for like lifetime dedication to hamstring injuries.
Yeah.
But Patrick Bamford was interviewed, obviously the on loan Chelsea striker.
Yeah.
He scored against.
And played for Derby last season.
He did, on loan, yeah. Now he's at Middlesbrough on loan. He's doing really well.
I think it was last season.
He has definitely played for them. Yeah. And he was interviewed in Five Live afterwards. He seemed like a really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
He was really articulate. And at one point, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying, the interviewer said, "Oh, you don't have a problem with celebrating against the team you've played for as well." And he went, "Nah, I don't care about that."
Yeah, well, why should he?
It's great, though, isn't it? It's great to hear a player say that.
He's damn right. There was a bit of glitz and glamour at Watford on the weekend because Sir Elton John was there.
Mm.
He was present and addressing the fans after a stand was named after him at Vicarage Road. He's had a lot of investment into that club.
Yeah, former
and
director.
Lifelong fan.
Former director and all that, yeah.
Yeah,
He's had a busy week. Didn't he fall over at the tennis or something?
That's not a busy week. Falling over once. How's that a busy week?
Well, Stephen Corker seems to have had a busy week and he fell over.
Going home for the weekend. Oh, I've been chock-a-block. What did you do? I fell over.
When he's at that age, that's a hip risk.
Fall before a pride,
Elton John looks like an aunt, doesn't he?
Yeah. So he does, yeah.
It's bad to fall when you're an aunt of that age.
So when you say you're busy...
Yeah. You're on your arse.
Falling over.
Just me and a zob. Falling constantly.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, Watford won. They won for Sir Elton and themselves. Wonderful stuff. At Wigan, former manager Owen Coyle is the new man in charge of Houston Dynamo in Texas. I love this quote. He just said, "It was nice to be wanted."
Famous people from Houston. Oh, Wes Anderson.
Ooh, nice.
Beyonce's from Houston as well.
Is that right?
Yeah. Beyonce.
There's
there
two.
Go.
All right, Wicked Whispers.
Imagine Owen Coyle knocking about Wes Anderson, Beyonce.
Hang on. That is not what's going to be happening. Well, there's a lot of glamour in the MLS.
He is the drunken Scotsman's Frank Sinatra. Of course he's going to be hanging out with Beyonce.
I thought that was Alan Brazil.
he's just a drunken Scotsman, unfortunately.
I'll tell you what, talking of QPR's videos, if Houston Dynamo get Wes Anderson doing their Christmas videos,
directed by Wes Anderson.
Beyonce in.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. There we are. Coyle said he'd been watching the Dynamo for many years.
I don't believe that.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
Nigel Adkins has been sacked as Reading manager. They got beat 6-1 by Birmingham.
Yeah, someone pointed out he got fired 2 weeks after joining Twitter. A bit of a shame.
Oh, no.
Steve Clark, favourite player. I think Steve Clark's about to be announced for that job.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Sammy Hubby has been sacked as Bright manager.
Has that actually happened yet?
It's all going off.
Well, Just report what the people are saying. Number of people have tweeted me.
Which people, though?
Number of people.
Right, okay.
You know, members of Twitter have tweeted me that there's a certain hot favourite who's currently managing in China. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
Come on, I'm going to go meet him in March.
Is it Lippy?
No, it's Svenigans.
I know.
Yeah.
I know it's Svenigans.
We all knew that.
Well, then, don't make me say it.
Big Tony Pulis might scupper your plans, though, apparently. That's the rumour I've heard.
They're not my plans.
Well,
they're just my hopes and dreams. What about Leeds, Blackburn and Nottingham Forest? All been given transfer bans after breaching the financial fair play rules.
And also, Forest effectively won the lottery today as well, didn't they? But they can't spend any of it on players.
I'm pretty sure Forest were the beneficiary of some Sky-run competition
thing, yeah, where they could win £50,000.
Yeah, £250,000 their transfer kitty the day after they got a transfer ban.
Yeah, they just can't use it. Apparently, they'll be allowed to use it on wages for loanees if they don't have a certain amount of players at the club and free transfers.
I think they'll be using it on wages to attract a new manager when they fire Stuart Pearce in March.
I heard that there was going to be like loads of teams. I didn't realise there was only three of them. Goodness me.
There's still time.
Goodness still time, me. Guys.
Before we leave England, Hereford United are in a very bad situation. They've got until Friday to prove they have £1 million available for creditors, or the club could be shut down.
That seems like a lot of money.
It does.
I'm going to for Hereford for United. Club, that seems like a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, so all the best to them.
They've got fans and stuff, so we wish them all the best.
Yeah, dear.
Because the fans will be the ones who fucking miss out, as always.
Absolutely. Mm. Could we go to the Irish Premiership again? This could become a new feature.
No comments, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As we often see,
Cliftonville, they won 4-0 against Institute.
Is this the Northern Ireland League?
Northern Ireland. Yeah. It's called the Irish Premiership.
I just want to double check that.
They beat Institute. You like that for a name? Solid, strong.
Yeah.
But Joe the Goal, Gormley, scored his third hat-trick in a row at home, I believe.
He's only 23.
He's got 24 goals this season. 105 in 162.
He's going to be linked, isn't he? Surely.
Get him on the plane to Britain.
According to the research I did, which is why I asked you if it was the Northern Ireland League, because I was pretty sure it was, the Northern Ireland League is ranked 44th in Europe. I mean, it's right down the doldrums. Any league he goes to is going to be a step up, really. He needs to move on. He's 23. He's got the world at his feet.
Yeah.
The world.
Yeah.
Come over, Joe the Goal.
Yeah.
Tell the goals. Let his goals do the talking.
That's right.
Joe the Goal. Brilliant nickname.
It is.
Yeah. That's what it says in the tin. It's nearly, you don't think you always used to say Barry Goals for like a sort of stereotypical sort of football striker. Mm. Joe the Goal is almost Barry
Goals.
Pretty
much the same, yeah.
There we are. La Liga.
Oh, can I just say something real quick before we go to... it's worthy of it.
Go on.
Before we go overseas, Andy Moore, listener, won't be aware of this. I just want to read you this quick story. Mm. A hedgehog caused a brief delay in a non-league game last night.
Good.
And hurt an assistant referee in the process.
Wow.
Arlesey Town...
Oh, yeah.
Went on to beat Hitchin Town, which I think is a derby. They're both got near each other, I think. 6-5 and penalties after a 2-2 draw, but the game had been delayed when a hedgehog had made its way onto the pitch. The assistant referee basically tried to get it off and one of the spikes stabbed him in the hand.
Oh, no.
But the reason I wanted to mention it is because your friend of mine, Tiggy Rainbow, used to play for Arlesey Town.
Wow.
So I thought it was worth a mention. And also, Beatrix Potter's hedgehog is called Mrs. Tiggy Winkle, and Tiggy Hedgehog is
no way.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
I don't really know what I'm getting at, but it's all right, isn't it?
I think you've got at it.
Good story. Yeah. That's me.
Maybe that's one of the animals of the Hawthorns.
Yeah.
Wandering around, affecting football. Yeah.
So they've come a long way since Tiggy Rainbow played for them. Hedgehog's on the pitch and all sorts. Could anything be more English than that?
Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. We'll fade his mic down for the rest of the show.
Cheers. Is that where I can go?
Nonsense. We need you because we're going to talk about La Liga, Madrid's 20th consecutive win. They're 4 wins off the world record currently held by Curitiba in Brazil in 2011.
Gareth Bale's neck muscle still twanging from that header.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
It's a brilliant header, wasn't it?
Ronaldo only got a brace, loser. Barcelona drew, Atletico lost. Their first home league defeat of 2014. Gutting that they never went a whole year.
Right, near the end.
Silly sausages.
I think Ronaldo's goals were his 31st and 32nd of the season.
It's better than Joe the Goal.
It's insane.
I mean, he's
December.
That's how good he is. He's scoring more than Joe the Goal. Yeah.
Joe the Goal, I'm telling you now, is going to replace Ronaldo when he moves on. Telling you.
It's mid-December. That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Jeez.
Madrid's drawn with Schalke in the Champions League. Lovely old job.
Oh, God, they are going to tear them a new one, aren't they?
Atleti with Bayer Leverkusen. Again, it's probably a good draw for Atleti.
Yeah. Mm.
So there we are. David Moyes had his first experience of a Basque derby.
Rainy, wasn't it?
It was. Real Sociedad won, Athletic Bilbao won. Carlos Vela scored.
Yeah, indeed.
He's having a good time there, Olvera.
I don't think it was a dink, was it?
No, I don't think
it's always a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Does it count then or not?
I don't know if it should.
I think Santi Cazorla used the dink quota.
David Moyes will take
for Spaniards.
He'll take anything.
Not
the
Carlos Vela's Mexican. Yeah, sorry. Spanish speakers. There we are. Yeah, saved the day there, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I'm the best. off to Germany.
I actually agree with that.
Which one? Off to Germany.
We're going to Germany. Okay.
And that's all you can disagree with. A lovely story from Germany. Daniel Engelbrecht, who plays for Stuttgart Kickers in Germany's third division.
Lovely name.
It is. He collapsed on the pitch after an abnormal heart rhythm in July 2013. Now, we saw this a number of times, quite horribly, in the last few years in European football. Fortunately, of course, he survived and was later fitted with a heart defibrillator. Slow recovery process, as you would imagine, for such a thing. But he took to the field of play in November, so he's back, and he scored on the weekend, so it was quite an emotional one.
Brilliant.
For the
great
Kickers.
Great story.
So a lovely story, because we often hear about those ones, and of course, Mwamba had to finish playing, and much worse,
with people
dying and whatnot. Absolutely. So I thought that was quite a good one.
Definitely worth a mention.
Yeah, yeah. This is definitely worth a mention as well. We're going to NASL, America's second
Let's not forget, NASL's back, isn't it?
Yeah, North American Soccer League. Mm. One below MLS. The original Ronaldo, O Fenomeno himself. The Phenomenon. That's my favourite of all the Brazilian nicknames, I think.
Because he was a phenomenon as well.
The Phenomenon.
It wouldn't be as good if he was quite just like an average player.
No. It wouldn't be given to him if he was an average
player. No, because he could have been like a really hot prospect as a kid. Yeah. And never quite. And it would be very difficult. I just like the idea that he's lived up to that nickname.
Yeah.
And he's still talking about it now, even though he's retired. Mm.
Well, he's bought a stake in Fort Lauderdale Strikers.
He's bought a stake in a lot of places.
We all have, Jim. We all have.
Maybe that's what they thought you meant.
Yeah. Right, where's the stake? No. Where's the stake?
How much is it?
Oh, God, I thought that was expensive.
How much is a stake at the club? Well, what you're asking, probably 500 grand. What?
It must be
this stake must be brilliant. Yeah. I'm in.
Right, Ronaldo, take the bib off, put another foot down, we've got to have a chat.
Oh, somebody just make a mistake, for fuck's sake.
But do I still get a stake? Well, all right, we can get you one, but that's
that's an extra $20.
Yeah, he wants to be involved with the management of the team and help them become a global powerhouse.
I mean, that won't happen.
No.
And they choose a better league.
Yeah.
Well, bring them up. Yeah. Although it doesn't work like that in America with the promotion and relegation.
But imagine like being responsible not only for a team, but also the prosperity of your own league as well. I mean, that's just too far, even for a phenomenal player.
Old D-Bet couldn't even get his team off the ground, could he? So it's
all in good time.
Tough old game. Could still happen.
All in good time. To Argentina, quickly. Racing Club, they beat Godoy Cruz 1-0 to clinch the Argentinian league.
Yeah.
Diego Milito's return has been a success. What a fairy tale that is.
You hear that so often in South America, though, don't you?
Sebastian Verón, I think, when he went to Estudiantes, it happened there.
Absolutely. Obviously, because you've got the Clausura and the Apertura, it just seems like the league's ending every couple of weeks. It's brilliant.
Yeah, there's always a... Well, yeah, you have two a season.
I think they should do that in Scotland.
They did mention that, didn't they?
I think it'd be much better.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because you do find teams in the Scottish Premiership, when the Premiership is obviously good, when the teams are in it, that you do find teams that get to the halfway stage.
Well, it would be interesting this season.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah. Absolutely.
With them playing each other four times.
Exactly, might as well.
But then you are really saying Celtic will win the league twice a year.
But no, because my point is that a side may be good enough to sustain it for a shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And then that's something to build on, so in the long run.
Yeah. Speaking of building, let's go to FIFA House. Michel Platini said in the press recently that Sepp Blatter needs to stand down. After five terms, it is time to let some fresh air in and leave the place to someone else. He went on to say the image of FIFA is very, very, very bad. So that's why I think it would be good that he stops, but I don't think he wants to.
If you went to a house that was full of dead people, right, and just said, I hope we need to open the window here. The air is very, very bad. Yeah, it is, but I mean, this situation's fucked. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not the key issue.
I think Platini's trying to get in the festive spirit. Come on, Sepp, give us all a Christmas present here. Yeah. But the trouble is, though, there's no great successor.
No.
Then Platini.
Well, he fixes himself, doesn't he?
They said, are you going to stand? And he went, no, I hope others do.
I hope that's a mistranslation. And Platini's just like, to be honest, I just can't stand the smell of the bloke anymore. he is a musty man.
Yeah.
I would imagine they all are.
I would imagine they are heavily fragranced.
Yes.
Oh, and before we go to Pete's mystery voice game, FIFA have rejected Michael Garcia's appeal over the World Cup report.
Yeah, this is horrible.
Of course, he appealed against the findings which cleared Russia and Qatar to host the next two World Cups. And the FIFA Appeals Committee said that ethics judge Hans-Joachim Eckert's statement was not legally binding. It wasn't a legally binding decision and therefore could not be appealed against.
Yeah, and he's also...
Up yours, everybody!
Also said to the,
that's
the,
basically what they've said.
Yeah, well, to the two ladies as well who were concerned that their identities had been made public, as they clearly had. They've basically said, no, they haven't.
Yeah.
No, don't
They've
worry
invited
about
people in and just said, right, do you want to present your report? But every time you say something, I'm just going to talk over you.
Mm. Yeah.
And then until you leave.
Or repeat what you said, but leave out the bits that we aren't comfortable with.
Yeah.
It's just...
it's obscene.
Phenomenal. And now it's time for Pete's mystery voice game.
It is. Oh, dear me.
Oh, dear, Pete.
El Flemoniman.
You sound like Gary Lineker, Sports Personality of the Year.
Oh, I'm not very well again. Mm. It's my fourth cold of the season.
Get on with it, yeah?
I think there's something wrong with my immune system. Good. Right, this is last week's voice.
And it's a place where nature is very strong. We have very strong seasons, very opposite seasons. Oh.
How many got it?
Only three.
Oh, good.
Only three.
I think we're fine on our level.
Yeah.
I think you're starting to find your right level.
Well,
yeah, there's a very good reason for this. Josh Tucker says Christopher Biggins, no. Mix, a lot of people go for Mixu Patalainen, not Mixu
Patalainen. I thought it was him, actually.
Hanu Tiennen? Tiennen.
I can't say Tiennen. It, Pete. So you look at me.
Mike Galatly says Luke Aaron Moore's Scandinavian brother. Nice use of your middle name.
Yeah,
well.
Appreciated, but yeah. I don't have a brother.
Giorgio Marauder.
Oh, yeah. not likely, is it?
Yari Litmanen. No.
Basically, Finland. He mentioned Finland.
Quite a few people went for Roy Hodgson, which is quite interesting.
Well, he mentioned Finland.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's why. Josiah Madigan. Christopher Ayer. Christopher Ayer's got it. No, he hasn't. No, wait a minute. Cancel that. There's only two people who got it right. Sorry.
Up yours, Christopher A, you fucking prick.
Christopher A went for Yari Alamaki. So,
literally never heard of that.
Definitely
person.
That. No, yeah. Clearly not him.
Yeah. But topping Rurari James, or Rurari James topping, he got it right, and so did Josiah Madigan. It was Santa Claus.
Oh, yay! Well done. Lightly done there. The
it
Santa
was
Claus.
Santa Claus.
How'd you get hold of him?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Well done.
Oh, like Merry that. Christmas.
I'm confused.
I always
here.
Suspected you would have a direct line to Santa Claus.
Yeah.
See you in 2015 for more of Pete's Game. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Oh, sorry about that.
I like that.
Sorry about that.
Have we got another one?
No, we're taking a week off, aren't we?
So oh, okay, yeah, right. We'll do it next time.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fresh.
Excellent, Pete. You got them there. Well, apart from two of them.
I'm wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. You aren't going to do it.
Yeah. No, I already have at the start of the show.
All right.
These two haven't, though. Anyway, it's
But you'd not considered the option that I genuinely may not wish them a Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I know, and I'm pointing out that you haven't.
I do, really.
But now it's time for your highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Yes, everyone!
Oh! Yeah! Woo!
By far the most exciting part of the show.
Debatable.
So let me get on with it.
It's Ridge Racer.
It is indeed.
Ridge Racer!
Yes.
Ridge Racer!
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Kev McGivern's highlight of the week, he says, Marcus, prepare yourself, because this might be a dig.
Uh-oh.
Kev McGivern,
season of Goodwill and all that.
My highlight of the week is I learnt that Phil Neville, David Attenborough, and Nick from The Apprentice all have the identical voices.
What does he say? I never did impressions of the other two.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Hashtag Rory Speller. Rory Brand, the Rory Speller, is what he's done.
Right. Yeah. I think he's given me a compliment there.
Colin Armstrong says, Gary Lineker doing his best Sandy Ballbag impression on Sports Personality. Yeah, we all enjoyed that.
Yeah. Mm.
This is a good one from Edward Norman. He says, the most Partridge-esque quote ever from Five Live. The commentator said, couple of fans there dressed as penguins. Maybe at halftime they'll pick up pick one up. Other chocolate bars are available. Here comes Lampard with the ball.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
What else have we got here? Here we go. So this is quite a good one from Daniel Ferry. He says, hi guys, just a wee message to add weight to Santi Cazorla being the most adorable footballer. My friend used to work in a prominent Glasgow hotel, one that would be used whenever opposition nations would be playing Scotland at Hampden. Part of my friend's job was to check rooms during the day for minibar purchases, and to his surprise, he went into Aunt Santi Cazorla's room, and there was the man in a full Villarreal kit, socks and all, spread out on his bed, and a bright yellow PlayStation. Such is his love for the club, even considering that he'd left them a year before. What a little sweetheart.
That's nice. Brilliant.
I've got a few more here. We've got a bit of time. Mike Wood says, a man shouting, Newcastle United coal miners, in my face, while in the middle of Athens. I don't know if they're the only words of English he knew, whether Newcastle had undergone a Hull City Tigers style name change. Or maybe Pete has a Greek uncle. Hashtag Diggerus Donald Sonopoulos.
Ah, nice.
Big shop tip here from Craig. Do your big shop on Black Friday. Then you can slap an OAP and hug a Brabantia bin while you're weeping. Fair point. It's a fair idea.
Yeah. It's not a fair idea.
Well, you know, you're going to do those things anyway. You might as well do them on the same day.
Scam.
Dan Simpson. Low light was seeing Southend take an early lead against my beloved Wycombe Wanderers. Highlight was seeing an ecstatic flat cap, barber jacket and motorcycle boot wearing Phil Brown.
Oh, I
celebrate.
Saw that.
Celebrate like Springsteen playing to a Madison Square Garden crowd.
A few people on our Twitter feed pointed out that he really, really looked like Bertie Wooster.
Finally, this is a lovely note to end it on. Martin Wheeler says, my highlight of the week, listen to the ramble when my partner's waters broke on Sunday. Oscar Jack Wheeler, the newest ramble.
Aww.
Well done, Martin, and all the best to
you. And
we'll
give
family.
Him friend status for that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All friends of the ramble. All of them.
A whole family of the ramble.
Family of the ramble.
The first one's
new.
After he's mopped up.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I imagine that's been taken care of.
Yeah, it'll be done by now. Yeah. This is a couple of weeks ago. I keep forgetting it. Yeah. You know, he's probably about 18 now.
What a lovely tribute.
Yeah, this is a great reflection of what it's like to be the family of the ramble. You know, my highlight of the week, the guy who scored the winner for Racing in Argentina is called Ricky Centurion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Imagine when he gets 100.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I can only just. Before we go, a little announcement. If you're in Norway, get your pencils out, people, because we are going to Oslo on the 7th of Feb.
We're doing a live show in Oslo.
We're doing a live show in Oslo. We're going international, baby. Messers worldwide.
Yeah.
Tickets go on sale at 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's Tuesday morning, Tuesday the 17th of December. The venue is in central Oslo. It's at Pokalen.
I mean, it's Wednesday, but feel free to say
it's Wednesday tomorrow, Marcus.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
It's all right. Okay.
By the time this comes out, it's probably today anyway. Yeah. So basically, Wednesday the 17th, that's when the tickets go on sale.
Look on the internet.
There we are. It'll be on the website. Tickets are available from billetservice.no.
Or go to thefootballrabble.com and we'll hook you up.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Oslo, we're coming to see you.
You don't have to be in Oslo to come. If you want to do like a really cool weekend away in Oslo and see us as well, because that's what we're doing. We're just going to Oslo for the weekend. Mm. So why don't you come along?
Well, we're doing a live show as well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah,
which
is
the crucial part of the message.
Indeed.
I love Oslo. It's a beautiful place.
I've never been to Scandinavia. Mm.
But for further details, go to thefootballramble.com and I'll make sure there's a message up there tomorrow. The other thing I was going to say, just quickly to touch on what you talked about earlier, the Christmas compilation, £1.79 from iTunes and from thefootballramble.com. It's a great show. It's an hour and 40 minutes of laughter. What's not to like? Mm.
That's literally all it is.
Get involved.
That's our favourite bit, us laughing at our own jokes.
Yeah. Peter.
The surprise package that is Southampton Football Club.
Mm.
They are going to be playing Everton this weekend. If you want to listen to John Chapman and Clark Kyle commentate on self-same match.
Lost four in a row, so looking forward to the fifth defeat.
Make sure you listen to Absolute Radio online. On your radio, on DAB.
Is John Champion the champion of your heart, Pete?
He is indeed.
Yeah.
Is Clark Carlisle the clerk of your admin
files?
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. You know the score. Go to the website this week and check out all them things. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, goodbye and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Nobody should be disappointed now for having come to the stadium to witness this.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.